Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Christmas time, lager and wine, the Falkirk Bairns are doing just fine. 3 points against Hamilton, undefeated at home. Bring on the Fifers, let's make Jim Leishman moan. How are you doing? Welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am John McInally, and what a present we got at the stadium yesterday as we got 3 points. Rather than three wise men, however, you've just got two dafties this week, as I'm joined by the ginger god of pod himself. It is the one-man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne. Hi, Ross.
Good morning, Mr. McInally.
It is a morning. We're recording this really early today. It is currently 9:45 on Sunday morning, as I am heading to see the Oddball again. I'm away to see the Egg Chasers at Hampden, so Glasgow versus Edinburgh. A little early Christmas present to my dad and my son. So we're going through there this afternoon to the 1872 Cup Final. So looking forward to it, actually. It'll be really weird seeing rugby at Hampden.
Yeah, that is an odd scenario. The only thing I've ever seen at Hampden that's not been football or a concert was back in the day. Do you remember the Scottish Claymores?
Oh, yeah.
Because they moved from
Murrayfield to Hampden.
Yeah. Which I didn't like. I always preferred Murrayfield when we went, to be honest. But
I can't quite like it. You just went for the cheerleaders, though, didn't you, Ross?
It was the cheerleading and the drinking throughout the match.
Do you know what that did? It was quite good, that, was it?
And a game lasted for like 4 hours. And
he's hammered by India.
Yeah, honestly, me and consistently for a while, me and Gary, our pal Gary McLaughlin, went through just, and it was always on a Sunday, so it didn't clash with the Falkirk games or anything like that. Was
tremendous. How's your week been, bud?
Not too bad. Busy week at work, but it's all now sort of
you're winding up. Is the telly being wheeled in now, Ross? Effectively at work.
Get the videos on. Get a bit of Beetlejuice on for the kids. Aye, exactly. It's been a good week, but I'm looking forward to Christmas. Do you know what? Yesterday has set it right up because we've got Christmas, which is obviously a brilliant time at the most for everybody. We've then got the derby on Friday night. We couldn't be in a better position. They couldn't be in a worse position going into Friday.
I know, that's the ones you worry about, though. Again, you know me, my constant worrying of it. We're going to speak to
you are a worrywart. We will
warrior princess, I am.
We will pump them on Friday.
Right, well, we'll speak to Stephen Mill, my Dunfermline supporting friend and co-host of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. He's going to come on, as ever, to preview the Dunfermline game. It's been a horrendous week, I'll be honest with you, from me in the group chat I have with you and Cameron and Stephen Mill, because Stephen has been at me, like, just poking me, saying, oh, bottles burst, McGlynn will change everything. You know, going on about how we were cheating, obviously, we'll get to that in a minute. But it was just been constant. So I will go full Kevin Keegan.
No, I was thinking about this, right? And I saw it online last night as well. For him and others to say our bottles crashed, we have just taken more points in quarter two than we did in quarter one. And apparently in quarter one, we were running away with the league. So how does that go figure?
I know. Good start, by the way. I'm impressed by it. Done your research this week. I'm very impressed by that. So we'll speak to Stephen a bit later on. We'll talk about the game against Accies in the company of Paul McTavish just in a bit. But let's get into what's going on. Birdie Connor, there was a lack of Birdie Connor this week. But I have to say, I was thoroughly embarrassed yesterday when I was standing in the pie queue and then I suddenly hear over the tannoy, "Happy birthday to John McInally. He's 44. Thanks for outing me, Ross." And he's the biggest dafty in Falkirk. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, big shout out to Jack Cochran on the mic.
Thanks,
Because
Jack.
yeah,
I had
exactly.
words with I did have words with Jack when I was going back to my seat. I was like, you wee bastard.
But Johnny's redeemed himself because he sent me a picture last night. He was out with Josh Heggie of Falkirk TV, and they were in behind the wall, and he sent me a picture of them drinking Venoms. So,
Very good, very good.
Falkirk
Well,
daft for them.
funnily enough, I did get a message from Josh last night saying, "Are you out? Are you at the toll booth karaoke?" I was like, "No, Josh, I
Not
can't.
tonight.
Not, I can't handle." After the last time when my mate got thrown at the toll booth, I don't know. It's too quick to go back again. So I'll leave a wee bit of gap, maybe over sometime over the Christmas period. But yeah, nothing in birthday corner apart from the gaffer. So was it 64? Was it 63?
I think it was 63, I think.
63. So do you pick up your bus pass at 64? I think you do, don't you?
Do you? Is that
65.
65, isn't it? Maybe. Oh, I don't know, actually. We'll need to check that out.
Anyway, the gaffer, happy birthday, John McGlynn.
Happy birthday.
63.
I sent him a wee birthday message.
You are honest to God.
Listen,
you've
listen.
got. Right, so Ross has got, right, I've let you into a little insight. Ross has got John McGlynn's number. He got it because we were arranging to get him on the podcast and stuff, and it was easier just for Ross to go back and forth. And ever since Ross has had John McGlynn's number, he'll drop him a wee text now and again and just start this little bromance thing that he's got with John
Listen,
McGlynn. And he
we
texts,
do.
John messages him back, and we'll have more on that in a minute.
We will. But no, listen, he's my brother from another mother. And I really, really I dropped him a really nice text. And he drew
Did he give you a thumbs up back? Just give you a
No.
thumbs up back.
No, the chat and the banter with John is always good. He was informing me that whilst we were chatting, he was watching Hearts in the Europa League.
Oh, of course. He's a big jumbo. He's a big jumbo, just like big Cole Donaldson as well. But I know, brilliant. Happy birthday, John McGlynn. Brilliant. I've got to put a shout out right now. A few people have been in touch with this, and my son, right, has told me about this guy. Now, if you're onto, I'm an old man. I'm not on TikTok, Ross, right? But you've got young daughters. I've got a 14-year-old boy. He's about to turn 15. Jesus Christ! My wee girl was on TikTok. They're all mad for TikTok, right? It's too much for me. I can't handle that stuff, right? But there's a boy on TikTok I need to give a shout out to. I watched some of his videos last night. Brisket's pie review, right? So the whole gimmick is Brisket's pie review reviews the pie at Falkirk and then reviews the game. So
Whatever game.
every game he
Right,
reviews a
okay.
pie and then reviews the game, and he's got a brilliant jingle. He just goes da 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 da. Biscuits pie review and that kind of teenage monotone kind of way. It's brilliant. I honestly sat last night and just watched all these just for the opening tune where he just goes do 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 biscuits pie review. It's
You need
amazing.
to send me on the link. I already tried to watch that. I
So
need to
check
try
it
and
out,
watch
Brisket's Pie Review on TikTok. It's great to see, obviously, the young team doing content, and the more Falkirk content out there, the better.
Absolutely.
Shout out
Absolutely.
to today, Furby, who actually bumped into yesterday as well. I was handing over a Ken McAllister program for something he's doing on his YouTube as well. So loads of great Falkirk content. The Falkirk podcast, obviously, the official team podcast was out this week as well, with Ethan Ross and who else was on that? I've not listened to it yet.
Finn Yates
Yeah.
was on,
Brilliant.
and Ross McKeever. I've not had a chance since Friday either, to be honest. So
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to do that today, later on today.
Colin does a great job with that as well,
Ethan's
Colin
doing a
Barr
great
as
job.
well, so
Yeah,
yeah.
bumped into him yesterday. He was in the Elliots,
How was it?
so had a wee hello. But yeah, he does a great job with the podcast. So.
Yeah, so I loads of great. It's just great to see a lot of Falkirk content, and long may it continue. Talking about Falkirk content, thank you very much to Bobby Fleming. In the absence of birthday corner, right, and ahead of our game against Dunfermline, Bobby sent us some jokes. Are you ready for this?
I hope they're better than your standard staple Dunfermline joke,
That's a great joke.
which you have to share in
I
a
will
minute.
not.
But
I'll
right,
do it. I'll
don't.
do it again at Falkirk Daft Live 3, which we'll
Oh,
talk about in a
Christ.
minute
Right,
as
okay.
well. Right, okay, right. So Bobby's hitting us with some jokes. Are you ready for this, Ross? Here we
Go
go.
ahead.
What's the most confusing date in Dunfermline?
Don't know.
Father's Day. Brum. Father's Day. Right.
Christ.
Because,
Okay.
yeah. Right, and
Okay.
finally, Bobby's hitting us with, what does a Dunfermline bird use for protection during sex?
I don't
A
know.
bus shelter. These are all very inappropriate, I have to say.
Yeah, this is, and it's also straight from the 1980s.
So
Oh
thanks for
my
that,
God.
Bobby. Really
Cheers, Bobby.
appreciate that. And
Yeah.
let's get on now to the F Factor. Oh, I can't wait to play this one. Someone has actually sent us a voice note. I'm going to get into it in a
Have
minute.
they? Oh, I've not heard this
Oh,
yet.
have you not heard this? This
No,
is
no, no, no.
class. This is class, right? Okay. We've got a couple in now. We're going to have to get up Spotify here, Ross, because again, I'm not familiar with these songs, but.
Call yourself a
I know,
DJ
call
and
myself a DJ. I
radio
know, I know, I
producers.
know. Do you know what I end up having to bloody DJ? But right, room. I was at Clyde One Christmas party. Right, room full of DJs. You know, guys that are, you know, out there. George Bowie's there. Callum Gallagher. All these guys go out DJ and everything. I end up having to bloody DJ. They're just like you and Cameron was there. One channel and an iPad, and the iPad kept locking. Right. And the bar staff wouldn't give us the passcode to the iPad, right? So I had to go on the microphone, Steve, and just go, could the one of the bar staff please come up and switch the iPad back on?
Bloody
And then
hell.
it got locked, so like Jerry Cinnamon Belter was on repeat for about three times. It was brilliant. Anyway, so Adam has got in touch and says, it goes along to the Bella Chower from the Money Heist, right? So this is Bella Chower here, hold on. Right. Da, da, da. Da, da, da.
Okay, so it's quite
Right.
Russian-esque, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
He
okay.
plays. So I'm thinking I got the head. And he plays for Falkirk. He hates the Pars. Hates the Pars. Hates the Pars. Hates the Pars. He plays in Navy. He hates the Airdrie. And he makes the Falkirk sing. So no, I'm losing this as well, Adam. This is for Keelan Adams, and it says, and that repeats after that. So right,
Oh,
okay.
maybe the voice note thing's the way to go. People
Yeah,
need to bring
I
it
think probably the voice note thing, and but maybe not, as you'll find out in a minute, right?
in. Right, okay,
Betting
right.
Bear's got another one, and this is to Tom, the tune of Tom Hark by the Piranhas. We're getting really obscure now with our tune, right? So let's bring up Tom Hark by the Piranhas. Piranhas,
As I
Piranhas.
said last week, see, unless it's Take That or Oasis, I'm fucked.
You're done. You're absolutely done. Tom Hark by the Piranhas. I can't even find that. Right, I think I can't find Tom Hark by the Piranhas, right?
Right,
I've got
okay.
the Piranhas here. I've got, oh, hold on, hold on. Is this it, maybe? Oh,
All right, okay.
yeah.
Of course. Right.
We
Okay.
don't
Yeah.
know that. I didn't know
Of
the
course you
name of
do.
the song, of course.
No idea.
The top of the league, we're champions. Top of
Yeah,
the Okay, so.
exactly.
So here we go. This is from the Betting Bairn on our Twitter. He says, "You cut the gap to lesson 8. Brown was so glad he had to masturbate. He had his big cheat Oakley to thank and thought of the ref while he was having a wank." Right, so there we
Oh
go.
my, that,
We've
to
got
be
that.
fair, that's pretty good. That is
Yeah,
pretty
yeah. Now, this is what we're getting to now. Thank you all, everyone that's given us an F Factor song, by the way. Absolutely loving this bit of the show now. It's my favourite bit of the show, and there's loads more to come because people keep. We're just drip feeding them in. Right, Simon Brown, right, got in touch with us yesterday, right, quite near the end of the game, and he wrote out the song, right? But what I think has happened after he came up with this, I think it was just before or just after the game, he's come up with this song, right? So then what I think's happened is, Simon's went out after the game into Falkirk and got absolutely swallowed. So it is to the tune of Johnny Cash Ring of Fire, and it says, "We've won the league before, Chris. We've won." I'm trying again. We've won the league before Christmas Day. The Wayne train is on its way. Levy are fucking shite. Our right back's fucking dynamite. Right. So he sent that in, right?
Right,
A
okay.
few drinks later, he's then sent us a voice note. Would you like to hear the voice note?
I would love to hear this voice
This
though.
is incredible. Here we go.
Is on his way. Vicky's Dynamite.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's absolute class.
Really amazing. Do. Absolute amazing. Please voice note us your songs, right? If you don't want to do it, that's fine. We can try and sing them, but that's dynamite. And especially during the Christmas period when everyone's had a few drinks,
please
voice note your made-up Falkirk songs to the F Factor, and we'd love to get them in. I've got something special I want to do at Falkirk Daft Live 3, right? So if you haven't got a ticket for Falkirk Daft Live 3, messages your song, because we might be able to sort you out with tickets. Because what I want to do at Falkirk Daft Live is have the final of the F Factor. Now, I'm talking a full panel of judges.
Is this the guests?
I would like one of the ultras. I would like either Kieran or Andy or Lewis, one of the top boys, Beardy. Because they're the boys that lead the charge in this, you know what I mean? So I'd like one of them on the panel to be our kind of Simon Cowell, Louis Walsh.
Okay.
And also, I think we need some female influence. So one of the Falkirk women's team on it. Right. And obviously, me and you as well, to judge the final F Factor. And I think it'd be great to do it live on stage. So get your entry. If you've not got a ticket for Falkirk Daft, and we've had loads of people that have got message and touch us, write a song, and then we're going to booth three songs in the night, and we're going to have the F Factor live at Falkirk Daft Live 3. Like, how does that sound, Ross?
That sounds like an absolute belter of a plan. Yeah, that
Let's
is good.
Do that.
And it saves us singing Kiki D and Elton John.
That is very true. Very, very true. Right, calendar update. So, obviously, we put together our own calendar. I'm happy to say that Caroline and I have been in touch with us. Now, I don't know if this is the Caroline's, what I think this is what Caroline wants. She said, considered the calendar carefully at the signing night. So she's going for Jan, Tom Lang, February as above, March as above, April as above, May, June, July, August, September, October. October, he's just switched up to a wee medley of Tom Lang, Leon McCann, Sean Mackey, Dylan Tate, Brad Spencer and Finn. November, Tom Lang. December, Tom Lang. So that's Caroline. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is Ingy's opinion or if this is the actual calendar, how it's worked out, because I don't think anyone's...
Do you know what's interesting? You've said that. I don't think Ingy's one is the official one, because Grant Thompson messaged me and he sent me a picture of every month.
You bring that up and I'll go through Ingy. So Ingy's went for January, Gary Oliver, February, Ethan Ross, March, Brad Spencer, April, Nicky Hogarth, May, Finn Yeats, June, Luke Graham, July, Sean Mackey, August, Leon McCann, September, Calvin Miller, October, Tom Lang and Michael McKenna. She's doubling up there. November, Dylan Tate, and December, Cole Donaldson. That's what Ingy's fancying for the
calendar. Good choices. John, there was a severe lack of... me and you, and both Caroline and Ingy's calendars there, yeah, unfortunately.
Nobody wants that.
Well, listen, maybe we should have an alternative one, just our shite jokes and random screenshots for the
podcast. You lying half naked over a car, or, you know, or we could do different Falkirk. There's you in front of the wheel half naked, then you Kelpie's, you know.
Sounds like a winner, to be honest.
Half, posing.
We'll get Ian Sneddon to take the photos.
The Mariner Centre outside the Mariner Centre.
On the slide, coming down the slide.
The elephant's coming, it's the frog slide now, it used to be the elephant slide. Come down the frog slide. One for next year, Ross. Mark that down for next year. Before we get into the football, before we talk about the news, got to say thank you very much to this week's episode sponsor, and I apologise, we've not talked about it, to Rumour Architecture, our friend Ryan Marshall. Ryan, I apologise for my unprofessionalism last week, or first week. I messaged Ryan, I'm saying, is this first week of the sponsorship? And here I am, steaming drunk. And I've had lots of messages about that as well, so thanks for getting
class.
In touch.
Yeah, that was class.
But Rumour Architecture have been on the go for 5 years. This January, it was set up by Ryan himself. They're a fully chartered and accredited architects, and one of only three chartered architects practicing within the town. They've set up a number of projects around the town. We talked about this last week. You know, the houses where the old Polish club used to be, that is Rumour Architecture's work. They look brilliant. They absolutely they look amazing. I love those. They've also completed work on Crunchy Carrot, Mr. Crunchy Carrot's house as well. Sorry, not a house, their office at the old Recce's office. Brumer did that, and they also have Charlie Mulgrew as a client as well. So there you go. So they've a small but growing team, projects right across Scotland. So if you're looking to get any work done round the house, he is the man to speak to. Big Bairns fan. They do projects of all types, from bespoke, contemporary extension, housing developments, commercial property, hotels, and industrial clients as well. Happy to speak to anyone. We've actually had a few people reaching out to us asking for Ryan's number as well, but you'll get them at rmar.co.uk. That's rmar.co.uk. So get on touch with Ryan. He'll sort you out. And if you're looking to get any work done, Ryan is your man. Let's run through the news pretty quickly here. We all know the big news of the week is Luke Graham's appeal was won. Obviously.
Quite rightly, yes. Brilliant that we got that rescinded. Obviously, doesn't change what went on last week, but can't change the past. But what a big plus it was getting him involved yesterday. And he strolled it again, big guy, strolled it.
I mean, Carl Donaldson even came out and sort of said, during the week, he said, I hope we win the appeal. It means I'll probably be out back with the team, but
exactly. And Cole said it himself, he's having to do a pre-season just now.
Yeah.
Because he missed it. So he's probably physically in a place where he doesn't really want to be playing 90 minutes just now. He wants to be getting drip fed back into the team. So but as Cole has said it himself, Luke's form just now, he's undroppable, really.
No, I mean, we'll talk about him a bit. That yesterday when he was running, bolting up the line and then playing 1-2s and stuff like that, he's unbelievable when he steps
yes.
out. Love it.
Yes.
John,
I just hope next Friday is not his last game. I really hope he stays for the duration of the season.
Hope so. Hopefully we'll be back on here next week and talking about him doing that. Got to say, welcome to Ross Monroe as well. That came out of nowhere. We weren't expecting that. A new goalkeeper's coming in the door. I think he's worked with John McGlynn before, but we got him from Dundalk. He's joining in January. He was at Ross County as well, Ross?
Yeah, as you said, it was a kind of out of nowhere. We've not heard any differently, but it does assume that Jamie Steadon is out for the long term. Because I know the chat was always that Hayward was going to be going out on loan, so for his development. So I can only assume that that is probably still going to happen as soon as Ross joins the first team squad from the 1st of January.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing that. And let's talk about our sponsor, Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global. And that is where we're going to be having Falkirk Daft Live 3. We've got to say thank you so much. I woke up, so I was on my Christmas night out on Thursday, and I woke up on Friday morning, and I was like, oh my God, it's sold out. Tickets were on sale at 9 o'clock, and they sold out within half an hour, which is unbelievable. For I've said it before, just crazy that people just want to come and see us talk shite live.
Yeah. It was like, honestly, it was like 21 minutes. However, within that 21 minutes, my phone was going mental because it was people screenshotting saying they can't register, the service is unavailable. I actually think we broke Eventbrite for about 20 minutes because it stopped allowing people to register to even try and buy a ticket, never mind actually get through to buy one. So then when it came out, it sold out. I was like, bloody hell, that was quick.
Yeah, well, it was quick as well because there was a little bit of pre-sale. We set up a pre-sale link so our mates could get in. Basically, we set up a pre-sale link, and Ross said, oh, can I send this out to other people? Then he sent it to half of fucking Falkirk.
That's not true, John. I was like, Ross,
just limit it so other people, people get the chance. And then Ross sent out the link to just about everyone in Falkirk.
That's just for everybody listening. That's not true.
That is true.
Listen, I sent it to half a dozen regulars who have been
Half a dozen, anyway.
It's not my fault that those half a dozen, as a, for instance, someone bought 11 tickets, someone bought 16 tickets, that was out with my control.
That is true. But listen, we're delighted that everyone is coming along to the night. And I think, we can probably announce who's, because we were like expecting, we'll have to drip feed the guests and, try and boost sales. But we might as well just announce who's doing it now that it's sold out, right?
I think we should, considering I was telling half the stadium yesterday anyway.
Oh, Jesus. You're honestly, honestly, an absolute nightmare.
I am. Right. I can't hold my water.
So, it's true, John. If you want to know anything, just ask Ross. He honestly, he's the biggest gossip going. Right, but here we go. So, I'm delighted. First guest. I think this is going to be an interesting one because I think there's enough water under the bridge now. I think it's time we spoke to Ian McCall. So Ian McCall is going to be our first guest. We're going to speak about his career as a player. We're obviously going to ask if he's shat in Simon Shue, and we'll find out about that time, his time as manager at the club for that kind of brief sort of 7-8 months when we were absolutely sensational. We're going to ask him all about that and can't wait to welcome Ian McCall. He's really up for it. I'm really looking forward to
it. I think he's going to be funny as hell.
I think he's going to be great value. I think he'll be really good value. And we thought we'd get one of his former teammates, he's...
Me as well.
Falkirk's player of the millennium, played right wing a wee bit for Falkirk, had a stand named after him as well. So Crunchy himself, Kevin McAllister, is going to be joining us on stage as well. So two guests this time, not just the one. And not only that, Ross, I'll let you do the honours on this one.
Right, so how the story goes, as John alluded to earlier on, I do have a little bit of a bromance just now going on with Mr. John McGlynn, a.k.a. Falkirk manager. And as always, whenever we've done a live event, we've kept in touch with the management team to say, listen, if there's any injured players or suspended players nearer the time, it would be amazing if they could come along. Hence why we were able to get Cole Donaldson twice. We've had Tom Lang there. However, as I've always done, we've always extended an open invitation to both John and Paul to attend. However, it's always been on a Friday night before a game, and it's not always ideal. It doesn't let the players go to anything on a Friday. So I was delighted when he messaged and we spoke this week, and he confirmed that both he and Smudger will be attending Falkirk Daft Live, which I cannot wait for.
So there you go. How about that? Not only are we going to have the F Factor live, which I'm very much looking forward to, we are going to review the season so far in the company of John McGlynn, Paul Smith, and then second half of the show, Ian McCall and Kevin McAllister. We should have doubled the ticket price, by the way. Should have doubled the ticket price. What a show this is going to be. Really looking forward to it. It's the 28th of February at Behind the Wall. If we do get any returns, refunds, we'll let you know on our socials. I'm really sorry, if you didn't get a ticket. We're really sorry. The thing is, we'd like to, obviously maybe do a bigger venue, but Behind the Wall, they pay the bills, man. They pay the bills, and thanks to Brian and all the staff there, they're absolutely brilliant. Anytime we do Falkirk Daft Live in there. And of course, you'll be able to get a Falkirk Daft Venom, which is on the menu at Behind the Wall now. We made the menu. Hope you've experienced it over your Christmas party season. And remember, they still run the buses from Behind the Wall. You get that £5 for the home games, and the Dunfermline bus is now full. I think they're running about 3 buses out there now as well. So you get away games for £10, and what is the best bit about the offer? You get a drink when you get back, so effectively it's a free bus, and effectively that's what you would say. So you get your drink when you get back to Behind the Wall as well. So if you want to get involved in any of the upcoming games, names to Scotty as always, give them a call or drop them a message through their website, behindthewall.co.uk. Right, that is our news. Let's get on to the game as we look back at the game against Hamilton yesterday, and we are going to do that in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's Paul McTavish. How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, good, John. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Paul, if you're not watching the YouTube version, are looking resplendent, and that looks an original Hummel Beezer Homes top there, Paul.
It is. I thought about doing an auction and using this as a little plug point for it, but I could never let something like this go.
Absolutely not. Absolute classic. Absolute classic. I wonder, we obviously had that out as a kind of re-release heritage top the last couple of years. We've still not heard what we're going to do this year.
I thought
they've
not mentioned
it this year.
Yet, have they?
It's not been announced yet, has it?
Don't think so. Not yet, no. It's normally out for Christmas, so they're obviously keeping it back till maybe into the new year. But yeah, I'll be interested to see if it's... Yeah. The rumour was it was going to be the checked.
I'd heard that rumour. Your man from O'Neill's wouldn't let us No, either. So I'll be looking forward to, because we threw a couple of suggestions at him, and he was like, "Well," so fingers
Maybe.
crossed. But classic top, Paul. Classic top. What was your first Falkirk memory? What was your first Falkirk game, Paul?
I've been a Falkirk fan for 34 years, which seems a bit of a lifetime for most people. I'll be honest, I can't remember my first game, but my first big memory was at Brockville, the Airdrie red card day.
Oh, brilliant.
Lives long in the
Yes.
memory, that one.
Do you
I
remember
sat
the
in the
Airdrie player
audience.
got sent off as well? And there was like
Aye.
3,500 red cards just went up in
Aye,
the
because
stands.
I was in the stand for that one, because, well, I was only a young lad at the time. But I remember the euphoria, sitting there with your dad, feeling all proud.
Love
So that was my first kind of big memory, but Brockville memories, I'm glad that I've got quite a lot of them.
it. Yeah, absolutely. And we've been asking this question all season. The most disappointing player, it's evolved the question. The most disappointed player to pull on the navy blue.
Well, as I said, I was researching this one like a job interview, and I got down a rabbit hole last night of looking at all Falkirk squads over the last kind of 20, 30 years. The Hartley era, Marcus Haber is definitely up there, but
Yeah.
remember our Stenny ground sharing days?
Yes.
One for me, I thought it was going to be an absolute world beater, but it was David Souza.
Oh, yeah.
I genuinely thought he came in with such promise, but it turned out to be absolutely pish, like Jason Lee.
Do you know, Paul, that actually spooky you've brought his name up, because we were in the Graham Hotel yesterday before the game, right? And David Souza's name came up, and I'll tell you why. So a couple of weeks back, I was down at Forest. That's my family for down that way. That's their team. So I was down at Forest, and Jason Lee was there. He was like a host of the lounge. So my cousin-in-law, he had said to Jason, "Oh, there's a Falkirk fan over here." So Jason Lee came, was over, and he's chatting away about his season with us, right? And so that anyway, that happened. So then yesterday we were talking about me being down there, and Lewis Connolly, who we know, he said, "Oh well, do you remember though when Jason Lee, we were playing, I think Ayr down at Somerset, and David Souza scored his first goal, and it was like January or something like that, and but the fans were like, we'd scored, but hadn't he taken to it?"
Aye.
And Jason Lee ends up raising David Souza's arm to say, like, come on, give him a bit of backing type thing.
It was right in front of our fans, if I
Yeah,
remember. Aye.
that's it. That's it. So it's
Amazing.
interesting you've said that. Aye.
Jesus, David Souza, wow. The only player that I think Falkirk ever played for Falkirk with an X in his name.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a brilliant shout.
That
Same
might, there
as.
can't be any other Falkirk player that has an X in their name.
No, and I never encountered many when I was down my rabbit hole last night.
Yeah, there we go. Let's talk about the game then. Yesterday it was Falkirk 1, Hamilton 0, and we remained undefeated at home in a calendar year, which is amazing. In the league, sorry, I should say in the league at home, because we obviously the only game I think we actually were defeated at home would have been the game against TNS. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
TNS is probably the only, so it's just a shame we can't say undefeated throughout the
Yeah.
calendar. But TNS just beat us
That's
in
right.
that one. But yeah, there we go.
Brilliant.
It was slight change to, not massively change. You thought obviously the whole chat was, and the chat I was getting on, McGlynn will start tinkering, he'll bottle it. But there was only one change from a defeat to Ayr, and that was to the left back, Fred Leon McCann coming in for Sean Mackey. Were you surprised that one, Ross? Do you think that was a tactical, or do you think that was? I've certainly not heard anything about a Mackey injury, so I'm assuming
No,
it's tactical.
yeah, I've not heard anything about Sean being injured, so you can only assume it was tactical. But they've both played very, very well, very consistently all season when either of them have played. So I think we're in a fortunate position where it doesn't really matter who plays. I think there's probably games where Mackie might be used a bit more from a physicality perspective or a height perspective. Listen, Jordan and Paul, they don't leave any in the chance. They know their homework, and they'll have looked at who was the right winger or the right back, which obviously we know was Tumulty, and Leon and Reagan came up against each other a few times yesterday as well, didn't they?
We'll talk about Regan talking a bit in a minute. But yeah, it was it. Would you have made any other changes, Paul? Or were you I mean, after the 5-2 defeat, were you just putting it down to that red card?
The team that we put out on paper was probably the right choice, but I don't think Leon McCann grew into that game at all. I think he ran up. He ran timelessly up and down that wing, but I don't think he had it in him to beat a man. Yeah. He was going forwards and then having to turn back quite all, but
yeah,
putting Luke Graham back in was a definite for that. Yeah. I thought he strolled that game again yesterday.
I saw a lot of people kind of asking we should have went back to the tried and tested, i.e. Dylan Tate back into midfield, putting Nesbitt one up and maybe dropping either Miller, Alfie or Ethan Ross. I don't know what the answer to that is. Obviously, I think John McGlynn came out and sort of said, well, the boys have done well, we'll go with that team, because I think he was just solely putting it down to the red card.
No, the subs changed that game for me yesterday.
Yeah.
Dylan Tate coming in, I think he should start against the Fifers.
It'll be interesting to see who did that.
Well, I agree with you. I would bring Dylan in. And I'm not saying...
Who'd you sacrifice, though?
Well, listen, I'm not looking at it from I don't like this person or I don't like that person or I think they play poorly. I just think you play your strongest team and those on form, and I think we should go back to Dylan Tate and Spencer in the middle. And I also think it's time that Callum starts the game as well. He was the game changer yesterday, and I think most people thought that was going to be the case. When you've got a tight game, you want Callum Morrison in there.
Yeah, let's get into that when we talk about Dunfermline with Stephen Mill a bit later on. Let's talk about the game in hand, though. Hamilton came at us. They were out the traps. They got a few pot shots off at Nicky. Nothing that Nicky shouldn't be saving right enough, because he dealt with what he was given relatively comfortable. Start that, and let's talk about the first half all in general. Ethan Ross was just on fire. He was just... gliding past that run he made right at the start, and then just kind of slipped Calvin Miller in, who fired it wide. I thought Ethan looked right in the mood for it yesterday, Ross.
He did. No, for me, I know we'll eventually talk about man of the match, but Ethan Ross did it so much in that game yesterday. Everything that looked like it was going to be coming off was from us, through him. And I just think he's undroppable just now. He's the one winger who probably cements his place. In that scenario, I thought he obviously picked out Calvin. I thought Calvin rushed at it. I thought Calvin looked really uncomfortable yesterday.
I agree. I don't think Calvin Miller had a very good game yesterday. What did you think, Paul?
I think Calvin had two shots in the first half. I think it was his only real kind of contribution. I think it's the one where he flashed past the post. In fact, past both posts, but
yeah,
definitely off the boil. See, their game plan, though, it just completely upset us in the first half. They were, to us, what we are to other teams yesterday. They were shutting everything down. They were rushing every single pass, and we just could not get control in that first half. But Ethan, he was a shining light in that first half.
Yeah, he probably should have scored as well. I mean, actually, watching it back on the highlights last night, I thought it was initially a goal save, but I didn't realise how well McGinty got across to block that shot when he was one-on-one with the goalkeeper. McGinty came out of nowhere when you look back at it.
Was it his face that the ball hit? Was it his face? It looked like it.
Yeah, I don't know, Ross, I don't know, but he certainly was involved in blocking that shot, because I don't know if it was going in or if the keeper's going to get a hand to it, but he was certainly involved in blocking it. But at that point, I sort of said to you, that should have been 1-0. That should have been 1-0 right there. And I think if it was, we go on to score more than we did. But as you say, Paul, I thought Hamilton played us really well. They were right in our faces, not giving us much time. I thought our passing was a bit off yesterday, though. I thought some of our passing was a wee bit off. What did you think?
I think the conditions kind of played a little bit of a part in that, though.
Maybe a bit. But you think it was a slick surface. You know, I don't know how windy it was. I mean, there was wind picking up, because there was points where they were going to take a corner and the ball was coming away from the line and what have you, and same with goal kicks as well. But yeah, I just thought we didn't find a range. And we talked about Brad Spencer. We'll hear from John McGlynn talking about Brad Spencer as well. We've got man of the match. I just don't think Brad found his range yesterday. And it was like a golfer a bit like, you know, just try to find his range, and I don't think he found it yesterday. There was a lot of missed passes from Brad yesterday.
I couldn't believe he got man of the match.
I was a bit shocked by it as well. But then you hear John McGowan's interview after the match, and he was raving about him.
He did break up an awful lot of the play, but I think from an offensive perspective, it probably wasn't his best game. But from a defensive perspective, he protected that back line yesterday. And obviously, there was a chunk of the second half where Liam Henderson had taken a fairly decent whack. And you just thought, you don't want him on a one-on-one with Ollie Shaw or with Kevin O'Hara. But I think... Yeah, it was a different game for Brad yesterday. I too was shocked that he got man of the match. I thought, personally, I know we'll talk about it, I thought Ethan Ross or Liam Henderson, just, they were phenomenal yesterday. So, but...
Yeah, was it a back pass? I was waiting for that big smash. I mean, the Hamilton player, I don't think he meant it to be a back pass, but for me, like, if it's going back to the keeper, and there's a threat, and the goalkeeper's picked up, it's a back pass.
So if he's kicked that ball on the touchline, what was his intention? It's to kick it back to the goalkeeper. So it's an intentional pass to the keeper.
No. I agree, because that's a good shout. He's not putting it back towards that way for a corner, is he? Not at that distance.
Totally. You want that big kind of big stramash in the box where it is a pass, but I've not had one of them in years and years. we did get a real big stramash at the end of the half, where I thought in the last 10-15 minutes of that second half, I thought if we'd played five more minutes we would have scored, actually. Because we really took a grip of it. We kind of settled into the game, like you say, Paul. I mean, Hamilton initially were out at us, but I thought that last 10-15 minutes of the first half, I thought we were going to go on and score a goal then. It wasn't to be, but, you know, it was just a good old-fashioned stramash in a box. Love that.
I said that just this half-time whistle went. I said that half-time whistles came too early for us.
Yeah.
If it's another couple of minutes, you're right. I think we were in the ascendancy. We were going to take control there.
Because we not only had that, Ross had a chance at the back post as well. What did we make about Ross McKeever's performance yesterday?
Probably for me, it was the best since he's came back. He held the ball up fairly well. He got a few flick-ons, which you expect from him anyway. But there was a couple of points where he was drifting out wide, trying to take a man on, and he got past them. So for me, that was probably his best game back. So I know he scored last week, but I thought just for the 90 minutes, he was back to kind of where he was at the start of the season.
It was that one in the second half where he done the old shimmy feint down the line and then completely lost his man.
He did.
Yeah. Sure, I was up on my feet at that point.
love that. A man has also been informed, Alfie Agyeman, and I think it's Agyeman because Sean on commentary always refers to him as Agyeman. So I'm assuming Sean has spoken to Alfie and it is Agyeman and not Agyeman, as we all tend to call him on here. Alfie, you know, a man in form, you know, that's five goals and four going into the game yesterday. What did you make of his performance, Ross? It was kind of Alfie-esque in the fact that he was great at some points, he wasn't so great at other points, he had some chances, the one that fell to him when he melted it, but it just went straight to the keeper. You know,
he was unlucky not to score, especially in the first half. He had a couple of good shots that were well saved by the keeper or blocked. I don't think it was a vintage Alfie performance. Had he been subbed, I don't think there would have been a massive outcry. But he does, as you've just said, he's a menace, and he causes defenders a whole lot of problems, and you can understand why John wants him in the mix. And he was a menace yesterday. Yeah, it doesn't always work out for him, but if you look at the part he plays in, like, we'll talk about the goal, but the part he plays in the goal, just like dragging another defender away for Callum as well, he does it well.
Yeah. What did you make of him yesterday, Paul?
He lives up to his name, like complete chaos at times. But when he's on fire, he's absolutely brilliant. He's unplayable, but I think his brain was 2 seconds behind his actual feet yesterday.
Yeah.
The shot that he had, I think it was straight at the keeper. Some ferocious power in it in the first half. But if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have scored that goal, I don't think, yesterday.
No.
So,
Yep. So we'll talk about the Dunfermline lineup. It'll be interesting to see if you want Morrison back in that side, who you got to drop Ross. So that'll be interesting. Talk about Cal Morrison then, come off the bench, and I turned to Fraser, who I sit beside, and I said, "This feels," because I think as if the second half progressed, it just felt like a 1-0 game. It felt like, I don't, and I think John Rankin came out afterwards saying, "We deserve something from that game. We should have maybe won it." I was like, I don't agree
No,
with that
don't
at
think we should
all.
have won it. But see, again, see for how they set up and how they try to play against us. I don't think we could have had an argument if there was a 0-0 yesterday. Because they put the work rate in for it. So if you got a point out of it, they've came with a tactic and they've stuck to it. So,
I
but I
agree,
think.
though. They pressed us really, really well. The only thing I said in the first half, though, and it kind of came to fruition in the last 10, 15 minutes, is I thought they can't do this for 90 minutes. They're not good enough
I
to
said
do
the
it for
same.
90. And that's kind of how it proved. The subs, as you said, were critical yesterday.
I think that I think a big thing was they got a few corners in that second half as well, and we saw what happened to Ayer last week. Now, I'm assuming the reasons those goals happened last week is because it was in we play the zonal marking, and I'm assuming those goals came from Luke Graham, as I said in last week's podcast, if I can remember. I think I said that last week.
You said a lot of shit last week,
I
John.
did
Got
say
me
a lot of shit last week.
going.
But I think that came those goals came from where Luke Graham was meant to be, and I thought we defended corners a lot better and on them yesterday. There was one I think the biggest I mean apart from the kind of pot shots at Nicky, which he dealt with, he got down. There was one that came from miles away, but he just got down and palmed it around the post, but he saw it a miles away, and you expect Nicky, a guy of his quality, to make those saves. But there was that one that flashed. Luckily, there was no one on the end of it, but it flashed right across our goal
Right at the end.
near the end, and you thought, "Oh, that could have been a chance for them." But yeah, it was the second half kind of it wasn't Ethan Ross kind of dropped out of the game a wee bit. I don't know if it was you saw him cramping up at one point as well, and he was like after he cramped up that point, he was really struggling after that. But I thought Ethan dropped out of the game a wee bit, Ross, in that second half.
He did towards the end, however, again, what like he plays his part in the goal, didn't he? With the run and cross in. But I think had we had a substitution
Window.
opportunity to make, I think he may well have been taken off due to the cramp. But thank God he didn't, because as I say, he was instrumental in the goal.
Yeah, and it came from our talisman, Callum Morrison, coming off the bench. We saw East Kilbride, obviously got his goal, East Kilbride as well. But it just, I said at the time, I said something to him, I said, it feels like a Callum Morrison game, and it feels like because it was, I think it was only going to be, as Paul said, it was either going to be nil nil or it was just going to be one goal separating the two sides yesterday. And Callum's just got that, he's just special when he cuts in from the right, makes defenders look like shite.
I was singing that to the missus, and I said, "It's his song. He's just actually scored a goal to his song."
But like onto that left foot. Now, lovely finish, curling left. Now, everyone is John Rankin and Regan Tomlady in their interviews afterwards alluded to saying it was deflected in. I didn't see it was a deflection. I thought it just went straight in. But I don't think. I think even if it was a deflection, I don't. If it hadn't been deflected, I think it was going in anyway. It was just a sweet strike, absolute sweet strike.
After I read that this morning, I went back and had a look at it, and at first I thought, does that take a wee nick? But even if it does, it's no change the direction, the
No.
trajectory. It's
Yeah.
going where it's going, and it's marginal if it even has. But it's
See
just
when you watch the video, I think it's called Mac Mate. He posts on Facebook
aye.
pages and he does on YouTube, right? He sits in the Kevin McAllister stand, and so he put his highlights up last night. I don't, from his angle, there's no deflection at all.
No.
There's not a deflection. And as you said, the power of the strike, the keeper had absolutely no chance. And that for me, that level of finishing, had he been on earlier, and I know it's all ifs, buts, and maybes, and if Manny had balls. However, if his level of finishing is outstanding, and he has to be a starter if he's fit, has to be.
Yeah, really dead. Yeah, right. Well, okay. And well, let's ask it now before we talk about the film. Who drops out of sight?
From yesterday's starting 11.
Yep.
Calvin Miller.
Paul?
It would have been a toss-up between Calvin Miller and Alfie. Alfie didn't have his best game yesterday.
Do you know the issue I've got though? We see with Alfie though, is you obviously bring Callum in. Now that's Alfie's position, isn't it? And I think John McGlynn would probably play Calvin over Alfie. However, based on yesterday's performance, I don't think Calvin done enough to merit starting
No.
again. But I get what you're saying. I think Alfie probably is the natural person to come out when Callum's playing. The other question you've got though is, for me, Dylan Tate comes back into the side, and I would be pushing Aiden Nesbitt back into the 10.
I
I
thought
think.
Aiden, I think Aiden Nesbitt put, I have to say though, I was talking about this, Aiden Nesbitt, I think it's Aiden Nesbitt's such the he's such a great passer of the ball. Like, see the way he hits that ball, he caresses that ball, he just hits, he's there was one he put down the line for Leon McCann was outside of his boot, which is beautiful. He's just such an amazing passer.
He
And I
didn't have a
think
bad game yesterday, John.
no,
He
no,
didn't have
no.
a
I
no, no, no,
that's what
no.
I'm saying. I think Aiden Nesbitt actually fits that role really well. Well, when so when Brad goes, he drops in and vice versa. He knows how to play that role. But you know, he's a must in the side. Like he's John McGlynn's love child. We all know that. But for me, but he's a love child. He's like he is would be the first name of my team sheet every week because I think Aiden is just he just such a workhorse. Such we see what he does on the park and off the ball. He's unreal. He's a great footballer. He's just a great footballer to watch. Just the way he knocks about the ball. But Dylan Tate is also very good.
Aye.
So for Morrison, so if you're bringing in Tate, you're bringing in Morrison Ross. Are you dropping then Calvin Miller and Alfie Agyeman? Because that's the only two changes I
Probably
can see you making.
it probably has to be if you're bringing both in. Whether he does bring both in from the start is obviously going to be another
Because
question. But
Ethan's undroppable at the moment, like you
Ethan
said.
is undroppable. He is.
You know, I think though that John doesn't make that many changes
No,
week to
that's the
week.
thing.
So if anything, we're going to see one change. Whereas from fans' perspective, we would probably pick a couple just based on yesterday's performance. But
I
you need to
think
remember the team we're playing.
exactly. I think Callum will, if I was a betting man thinking who's going to come in that didn't start yesterday, I think it'll be Callum. I don't think it'll be Dylan. I think John McGlynn is really comfortable with Aiden playing in Dylan's
Next question
normal
then.
position.
Does Callum go in at 10 or does he go out to the right and you switch Alfie inside to the 10? Or do you then, because that's the next question you have, if you're bringing in Callum Morrison, do you switch him out into the 10 or do you then, or do you just switch the line out, put Alfie out to the left, which we know Alfie's no very good on the left when he plays on the left-hand side. So for me, the only option then is, does Callum go in at 10 or does Alfie go in at 10?
I'd keep Alfie at 10.
Put Alfie at 10, give you a bit more physicality in the middle.
Because I think our best play next week's going to come from the wide areas.
Yeah, I agree.
All right,
I
okay.
agree.
Well, it was a great finish to the game, and you know, everyone went home happy at Christmas. A nice Christmas gift from Falkirk FC, 3 points in the bag, up the road, and 5 points now clear of Livingston, which is a and top of the league at Christmas time. Jesus God, who would have thought? Who honestly, you go back to I was listening back to before we speak to Stephen, I was listening back to his predictions at the start of the season when he said Falkirk would be relegated. I think he had his tongue firmly in his cheek. But 5 points clear, top of the league at Christmas time is just a great place to be in. No matter how the
Yes,
season ends,
we're top at New
it's
Year as well.
Yes,
Exactly,
that's
no matter
true.
what happens.
Regardless, you're right. We will be.
We will
Absolutely.
be. You're absolutely right. So there you go. But let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say about the game yesterday.
John, we spoke a bit about this game and how difficult it would be in our pre-match interview. Definitely looked like a difficult one out there. But Callum Morrison coming up with the goods to take 3 points.
Yeah, I thought we were in total control first half. I mean, we were miles ahead in first half. The only thing that was missing was a goal. We played really well. The performance was so good. I felt we controlled the whole first half completely. Nicky's not got anything to do whatsoever. Their goalkeeper's made some good saves and their defenders have blocked things. Ethan Ross has got a 1v1 and the lad McGinty's came from nowhere to block his shot. And there's an incident where I think Brad's had a shot and then Alfie's followed up with a shot and the goalkeeper's made two saves. There's a situation where I think Aidan Nesbitt's hit a shot that's managed to get blocked going on the way towards the goal, and it was one way traffic. So it was for the meet of the boys at half time, it was a matter of let's try and keep the same pressure on the Hamilton defence, and it has to come, it'll crack. And I'm glad to say that it did. I'm delighted with the win. It wasn't as convincing, but we thoroughly deserved to win the game. But obviously, Hamilton came into the game a little bit in the second half. They had a few corner kicks that we dealt with very well, which I'm pleased to say, after losing two goals last week from corner kicks, I'm delighted that we dealt with the corner kicks really well today defensively. And a really good performance. Nicky had a couple of saves, nothing to get too excited about. He had a couple of saves. But I thought defensively we were very, very good, especially first half, and the boys at the back used the ball really, really well, which is a big part of, you know, how we build the game. You've got players that can play and they can all play there. And I thought Brad Spencer was outstanding, a very worthy winner of the man of the match. I thought he was outstanding from start to finish. And we had good opportunities in both halves. Delighted that Callum's came on. You're looking for your subs to come on and make an impact in the game. And Callum's definitely got that in his locker, so delighted for him. But, you know, they all played their part. For Nizzy, you know, for Calvin, for Ethan Ross, the Alfie, Big Ross, McKeever, has, you know, opportunities as well. Only a header just on half-time. Second half, Alfie's got a header early doors. So a really good win, but delighted, as I say, Callum coming into the game and produces a bit of magic, which we've all seen over, well, certainly the last couple of 2.5 years when I've been here.
So there you go. John raved about Brad Spencer, and he was saying he was quite happy with the performance levels yesterday as well. Like John Rankin thought we should have won the game. John obviously thought we should have won the game. And I think we were well worthy of our win in the end.
Yeah. I thought if there was a team going to win it, I thought it was going to be us. They had the odd half chance that they created. I think was it. So Connor Smith had that shot against Nicky, I think. That really was about it. Ollie Shaw, considering he's the top goal scorer.
Didn't get a look in. Again, we talked about the game. We didn't mention Liam Henderson. Just how good Liam was yesterday. He was unbelievable. I guess he's so good. The Kaiser.
He brought the ball down. Do you remember when he brought the ball down in the first half? Was it the first half? Yeah, it was the first half. And there was a high ball that came in and he took it down. So sexily.
There was one point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There was one point as well that the ball was, it was coming down out there and he just kind of caressed it with his left foot and passed it in to inside. I think it was, I don't know if it was Brad Spencer or Ian Nesbitt, and I went, he's absolutely 100% meant that. It was just unbelievable. He's just so good.
He's got a left foot like a pillow at times, doesn't he? It just kind of...
You say it every week. How hard it's going to be for Cole and Tom to get back in the team.
Yeah. Mm.
But from what we've seen, and especially through last season, I genuinely think that the Luke Graham and Liam Henderson partnership is, sometimes it's better.
It's tight, isn't it? It's a tight partnership there.
Luke Graham can hold the ball at his feet. Yesterday went on a mazy run.
We're talking about that. Just carrying the ball. Just carrying the ball to defence. He missed it. It was like they tried to play a 1-2 and he missed the 1-2. But like you were just like, go on. But he was brilliant yesterday. Luke Graham.
We are lucky, really lucky. In fact, it's a bit pish that the two of them are out injured just now. But four very, very good centre backs. There's not a team in that league that have got a stronger centre backs pool choice is what we have.
Although, can I just say, did you see or hear the Livingston official podcast that went out this week? So they interviewed David Martindale and their CEO, I think his name's Dave Brown.
Yeah.
And Davey Brown, CEO, and quite right, they're going to big up their own thing. They have, in their mind, they have the strongest starting eleven, they have the strongest squad, they have the strongest bench in that league. So, well, do you know what, guys? Go and fucking prove it.
Aye. Yeah. I was looking at the league table. Some cocky fan on Twitter last night was going, but that's only our second defeat. But my reply to him was, but you've dropped points in 8 games.
Yeah, exactly.
8 games. And if you keep that going, you've dropped 16 games, you've dropped points by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough to win a league.
No, it's not.
No, totally. Interesting. Anyway, let's see what you guys have to say about the game. Andrew kicks us off saying it was a tough watch this week, but delighted that Callum got the goal. I don't know if it was that tough a watch. I quite enjoyed the game yesterday. I thought it was quite a tactical game. I quite enjoyed it. Need to be better at releasing the ball to stop the attacking move breaking down. Great end to 2024 and buzzing to be top of the table.
John, just before I read the next one, I totally agree with you. I don't think it was a boring or tough watch. Yeah, at times our passing was maybe a little bit off, but the weather, I generally think the weather was a factor yesterday. See, when you left the game, that's when I think we were quite, well, in the main stand, I think we were really sheltered. So when you went out, it was carnage out there between the wind and the rain. So the players obviously
frustrated is a better word. I wouldn't say disappointed. It was frustrating at times, but it could have been the weather. It could have been being a wee bit more tentative based on last week's performance or result.
No, I completely agree. And I was looking forward to watching the highlights. You don't look forward to watching highlights from a rubbish game, and that didn't feel like it. And combine that with the watching the Morton Dunfermline highlights last night, it just proves that there's nothing I won't masturbate to on the internet. 10 o'clock, can you come quick enough?
You got this one, Ross?
I do, yes, sorry. Yeah, that was
it. Just laughing at you, Ron, just laughing at you.
Graham says Hamilton slowed the game down, especially in the first half. The ref let it go unpunished. As for the pass back to the keeper, conditions didn't really suit Falkirk's passing game either. I'm hoping that's what caused so many misplaced passes. A lovely finish for the goal, though.
It was indeed. Cliff, a tough watch, a skittery pitch, looked a bit nervous at times, passing was off, and a couple of players not at the races. Not a good review from Phil. But a win's a win. Happy Christmas, Bairns.
Indeed. Ryan says, this team just never give up. Not our best performance, but the job was done. Excellent goal from Cal. As said by others, these are the type of wins that will win you the league.
Sandy says, horrible game to watch. I don't know. I honestly don't think it was a horrible game to watch. But anyway, balance of the team looked wrong today. Slack passing and the weather didn't help. Hamilton are poor, thuggish team. Upside is a win. 3 points with a lovely defeat. We now sit proudly top. 5 points clear and 7 goes to the good. What a time to be a Bairn.
Indeed.
Dave says, a different game, I'm telling you.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Do you know, these are raw emotions straight after the final whistle. Right. You need to bear that in mind as well. Dave says, Hamilton are a poor side who come to frustrate us, and they did. Thankfully, Callum popped up with a winner. Ethan Ross, always our best outlet again. Hendo and Graham at the back were solid. Top for Christmas. Long may it continue.
Yeah. Ian says, way lower standard, but it's a good team that can play poorly and still get a win. Very good.
Indeed. Colin says, Aki's ball was brutal and had to grind it out a bit, but special goal to win it. A lot of players had an off day, so hopefully out of their system ahead of the big game next week.
And Mark says, Labour today and looked like it wasn't going to be a day until CM7 showed up with his quality, got the result despite not being at it today.
And last but not least, Craig says, Callum Morrison, that is all.
There you go. There we go. Right, Falkirk Daft rated. Let's get into that. Ross Wayne, coming straight to you.
I am going with Liam Henderson. I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah. Paul?
See, at points, I was doing like a 5-bar chart in the game yesterday. And see the way he started, I thought Keelan Adams was on. He was a stick on, but it was a game of two halves for him.
I thought Keelan, we've not mentioned Keelan actually, I thought he was... He had moments yesterday, but then after the moment, he had a fuck up. It was like he had these moments where he beat a player or whatever, or get past, and then he would pass it out or do something. or miscontrol some of his diags or whatever. Yeah, yesterday, I thought Keelan, it was a very strange game for Keelan Adams yesterday.
That's why some of the comments that were coming out, I can see how people were frustrated because some people were off the boil, some people had great moments, and then some people didn't. But I'm going with the centre back. Pairing, I'm saying Luke Graham. I just thought he was a stalwart. He made a good difference coming back from last week, especially what I had to go through.
I've got the cast and vote here. Then I'm going to go for Hendo. I just thought some of his, like you say,
Kaiser runs it.
He runs that game. He really does run it from defence and just always looking for the ball from Nicky. Always comfortable on the ball. Just. Like such a cultured centre half, you know. Obviously, he played midfield for us last season, and he's brought that into his game at centre half. not scared to just take dip the shoulder, beat a man, look for a pass into the middle. I think just honestly, I can't rave about Big Kendo enough. I always love a centre half. I always, you know, get attracted to a centre half, and I just think Henderson's unbelievable. So Big Hendo for me. So it's Falkirk Daft rated for Liam Henderson. Who is the Dafty going to Ross Wayne?
Tough one. It's a tough one. I don't think anyone played bad enough to merit from a playing perspective. That's the thing. Paul, have you got anyone in mind?
No, it's one of those days where nothing bad really happened.
Can I offer you a name?
Go on then.
Regan Tumulty.
See the pass back?
No, he was being a wee dick all match. An absolute little scroat. All match, he was like, you know, smashing Ethan Ross, gave him a torrid time, you know what I mean? And he was just, and McCann, he was up against McCann, he was he was just being a wee dick.
Was he, who was the one that volleyed the ball into wee McCann's nuts?
That was Tumulty as well, actually. Good shout. Yeah, good shout.
That was Tumulty.
See, to be fair, wee McCann got straight up from that.
He did.
I would have been rolling.
It squared up to it. It was like a little pit bull. You saw the cat square up to him, just wee Leon squared up to him.
That's with the big balls that he's got.
Brilliant. Let's give it to Tumulty then, will we?
Let's do it.
There we go. Brilliant. There we go. Fantastic. So, Falkirk Daft rated Liam Henderson, and Falkirk Dafty of the week is Regan Tumulty. Well done. Right, let's get into it. We missed it last week. It's back though, it's Falkirk Daft versus, and it's going to be me this week taking on the questions from Ross. Five questions about the Bairns and a penalty shootout still. Are you up for this, Paul?
I'd prefer it if you'd had a few beers, but here we go.
Yeah, listen, that would have been an easy away win last week.
That would have been an away win definitely last week. Right, okay, I've got paper here, and you can find a pen from somewhere, it'll be one there as well. Right, okay, so I will write down my answer. Paul is going to give his answer.
He is right though, John. Like, you didn't know if it was Pancake Tuesday or Sheffield Wednesday last Sunday.
Oh, I don't know. So right. Here we go then. Right, Ross, you've got questions.
I do. So, question number one.
Yeah.
Who did Falkirk play in their last game before Christmas last season in the Invincible run? So who did Falkirk play in the last game before Christmas last season in the Invincible run? So this time last year. So John, you write your answer down. Paul, we'll come to you in a wee minute.
I don't know this, but I'm going to guess. Right.
I'm surprised you don't remember this, John.
Hey, I'm going for a tactical guess because they don't play too many games.
Right, 2 seconds before you do the poll, let's see what John writes down first. Let's see, because he's a cheating wee shite. So let's see what he writes down first.
I was in hospital for this.
Okay, if that's what you think you remember.
Was I in hospital for this?
Pick a team.
You're Edinburgh. Nine. I'm going to write down, I've written down my answer.
You're saying Edinburgh. Okay. Okay, Paul, come to you.
I'm tactically going with Alloa.
You're thinking it was Alloa.
It wasn't Edinburgh. It wasn't fucking Edinburgh because we played them on the bloody
Remembrance Day. Paul?
Yeah?
It sounds like Alloa, but it was Annan.
Ah, I'd written down Annan and scored that out!
Tom Lang, do you remember Tom Lang scored a...
It was Annan Social Club.
How can you not remember that?
Paul Robinson scored from about 50 yards out. Yeah. And who got the other one? Does it Ross McKeever with a header from memory?
It was. Oh, man. Right. Okay, next question, Ross.
So it's still 0-0. So question number two. Who was the last player to play for their country whilst at Falkirk Football Club? So who was the last player to play for their country whilst at Falkirk Football Club? Now, all I'm going to say is, this is a belter. I wouldn't have got this had I not set research.
That's a great question.
Paul, have a think. John, we'll come to you once you've written something down. But who was the last player to play for their country whilst at Falkirk Football Club?
You made it a wee bit harder this week, no?
I tell you what, it's a good job. It's a good job. John is sober this week because he didn't have not a clue last week.
I've got an answer.
I'm going for a stab in the dark as well, but there's bound to have been someone beforehand. But John, you've written, aye?
I've written.
Right. I'm just going to go with Darren Barr.
You're thinking Darren Barr for Scotland?
I've written Michael McGovern.
You're thinking Michael McGovern. Two very, very good answers. And is one of you right? No, you're not right. You will not get this, honestly. I'll give you his first name and then see if you get the second one. Diamantis.
Petrovicius.
Yes, Petrovicius.
Oh, wow.
Lithuania, 2018-2019. He got
what
six caps.
What a question.
Six caps. Can you imagine him getting six caps as a Falkirk player? There we go. Nice, easy one to try and kick his off. What is the official programme called on match days at the Falkirk Stadium? What is the official programme called on match days at the Falkirk Stadium? So, John, you write your answer down.
I've written this something down.
Okay. Paul, I will come to you.
The Bairn.
You're saying the Bairn. John, what have you written down?
Shit, it is. I was going to write the Bairn. I've written Bairn's View. It's the Bairn, isn't it? I know it is.
The Bairn is the correct answer. It's 1-0 to Paul. There he is. From memory, did you not say you've got a programme set in front of you as well?
No. I said I was reading a programme before I came on.
Okay, question
number four. Just got my team sheet.
Oh, is that a team sheet? There we go. Question number four. Which team did Falkirk play against to officially open the Kevin McAllister stand?
Oh.
Now, sorry, I'll rephrase the question. Which team did Falkirk play against to officially open the South stand? Not the naming game. The South stand.
Not the naming game. For God's sake, Ross, I had the answer to that one.
I know you did. It was it's the South stand. So back in 2000 and...
Oh, Jesus, crying out loud.
Which team did Falkirk play against to officially open the South Stand in 2008?
If you'd have said it was the stadium, I remember it was Dundee, was it?
It was. That was shocking.
That's right, I just written down thanks. I was like, that's all right. I'm going to write... was it a friend? It was obviously a friendly.
I'm not saying. So which team did Falkirk play against to officially open the South Stand?
Would that have been? I think it might have been. Right, okay.
You've got something written down. Okay.
I've written it down. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Paul, I'm going to come to you.
I'm going with Partick Thistle.
You think it was Partick Thistle?
I think it was the Ajax game.
You think it was Ajax?
No, but was that the North Stand? No.
So, it was a foreign team. But it wasn't Ajax, it was Royal Antwerp we played at the stadium, and that was the official game to open up the South Stand.
I do not even remember that.
Do you not remember that at all? Do you remember, see, when we scored, right, and they obviously played Amarillo over the Tannoy, and the Royal Antwerp fans sang Amarillo for the rest of the game. They did not stop singing. There was about 200 of them. Royal Antwerp. So it's still 1-0 going into the last question.
Oh no.
Pressure.
This is tense.
Terrible game, Paul.
Yeah, that's right. We've won. Okay. So which season did the current crest come into force? Season did the current Falkirk Football Club crest come into force?
This is...
So, John, you have to get this right.
I've no idea. I've absolutely no idea. I'm going to just write down an answer and... it'll be wrong, but I'm going to write down.
So I will either take the year or the season.
Yeah.
Or the season. Yeah. Right. So have you written some down, John?
I have. That's wrong.
I'm going to try and do this logically, because if we go past the Scottish Cup era, we had the old kind of badge. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with 72.
You're thinking 19. So the current crest, though, Paul, is the current one, not the...
If I go back to... So I was born in the 80s. We still had the kind of steeple one there. So it's,
we did.
And it's after the 50s, so...
Okay, right. John.
I've just written 1415.
40? What is that?
The current crest... Are you talking about switch from the Highlander to the steeple?
No, I'm talking about the current badge, which is just the ball with Falkirk written underneath it.
You're talking about the established 1876 and all that.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's
why I've written 1415.
So rewrite, I'll give you a second chance then. So it's when we changed from the badge that's on Paul's shirt
right.
to the one that's just the ball with the steeple and just Falkirk written underneath it.
Right, okay.
So I'll give you another try.
Right, okay. I have no idea. I still no idea. You can give me as many tries in the world here, Ross. I've no idea. Right.
Have you got something written down?
I'm writing that down. I'm just...
Okay, right. Paul, come to you.
Season 2001-2002.
Okay, so 2001-2002.
0405.
0405. I will give it to the person who's closest.
Oof.
And that person is Paul McTavish. Well done, Paul. You get the point there. Yeah, it was
you
actually.
You can't just change the rules halfway through a question.
I'm the quizmaster. Of course I can. It was season 1998-99. So Paul gets that. John, you were wrong anyway. He would have won 1-0. So he's just won 2-0 now.
Right.
There we go. Paul, well done, sir. John, play the music above. You can do that.
There you go. You can have the music. There you go. Well done, Paul. Fantastic. Raging.
That was difficult this week.
I know. It's because Ross does the questions. He's a big geek. Right. Thanks, Paul, for coming on. Really appreciate that. Being a great, great guest pundit. Thank you for that. If you want to be a pundit, are we sorted for the rest of the year, Ross?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think we've got any gaps now, to be honest.
All right. Well, if you want to, in the future, be a guest pundit, you can do that by dropping us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Facebook right now.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue. Are you?
Right, let's look ahead to the next game, and it is one against the old enemy of Dunfermline on the 27th. Looking forward to it. Under the floodlights at East End Park, everyone's going to be steaming because it's the Christmas holidays. It's going to be a wild game. And on to preview that game is the one, the only, he's from the Big Scottish Football Podcast, stroke Big Scottish Football Show. Is it Big Scottish Football Show now, Stephen, or is it still the Big Saturday Football Show?
For the next couple of weeks, it's the Big Festive Football Show, actually. So, we really need to tidy that up, I think.
Yeah. And he's Gary Spence's co-host on the drive time across every radio station you listen to, Stephen Miller. Everyone, hi Stephen.
Hi John. Hi Ross. How are you?
We're very very well today. We're
very very well. Just looking at the table, I'm feeling great, Stephen. 5 points clear at the top now, I believe. If you listen to the Big Scottish Football Podcast, Stephen has been poking me all week on our group chat. We're blowing it. We've bottled it. McGlynn will chop and change. One change yesterday, by the way, Stephen, to the team. We'll chop and change. He's done. We're done. And yet, there we are. Livingston dropped points yesterday. We're now 5 points clear after a win against Hamilton. Very fortunate, Stephen. Very fortunate.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was hearing it wasn't the greatest of performances. But listen, if you're grinding out wins, that's obviously a good sign. So in terms of, you know, I've got a theory on this. And it's a well produced and well backed up theory, and it's that John McGlynn, when it gets to about sort of February time, begins fanning about with the team, begins tweaking formations, begins panicking. Now, obviously, that didn't happen last season, and I think the reason obviously that didn't happen last season is you were so far ahead because you were playing against Plumbers and that. So. There was no real pressure last season in terms of, like, there was nobody breathing down your neck. Whereas if you look at the previous season, when, you know, it was kind of nip and tuck between ourselves and you guys, that's when you saw the real John McGlynn, and he started panicking and farting about with the team and chopping and changing, making triple subs and stuff like that. And it was working some weeks and it was working other weeks. So we've got that to look forward to over the next 3 months. And as a Dunfermline fan, that's really the only thing I can look forward to. over the next 3 months, because there's nothing on the Dunfermline side that I can really be positive about.
I was going to say, Stephen, you've talked more about Falkirk this season than your own team is getting quite bad. Let's talk about your own team for a minute now. The thing is though, Stephen, what I don't get is, right, you've not been angry at all with this situation. I mean, you've been quite apathetic about it for all season, actually. You've been very apathetic about it. What are the rest support feeling? Is there anger? Is it just apathy right across Dunfermline at the moment?
Yeah, it's probably a wee mixture of both. I think there's probably a lot of people that are angry. I mean, my mate who was at the game last week against Raith Rovers was fuming after the game because he was just like, you know, he said that was just so bad. It was so bad. My mates were there again yesterday. And he was like, it was better than last week, but, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen the highlights or anything, but, you know, losing a goal for a set piece, just terrible. And then the second goal, a minute into the second half, the boy crosses it in for the touchline and it just flies into the top corner because of the wind. So, like, you know, but when things are against you sort of thing. But, you know, again, I don't think we deserved anything for the game yesterday. And then, obviously, David Wotherspoon gets stupidly sent off as well.
That's mental. Within two yellow cards. Were they two definite yellows, were they?
So he got a first yellow card for dissent, and it was because they felt there was a foul in the build-up to their second goal on him, which, you know, it could have been, but, you know, didn't get it. And then he was going mental, got a yellow card, and then he just comes in and takes him to it and then gets a second yellow card. So, like David Wotherspoon, you wouldn't put him down as somebody who's, you know, hot-headed or anything like that. He's a really experienced player and just doing stupid things like that. And then you hear McPake after the game, and it's just like a sort of rinse and repeat from most of our away performances this season. I think we've got the worst away record in the league, probably apart from Airdrie, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's clear where the problem lies. We have been a wee bit better at home, and we have been able to raise our game a wee bit. So, obviously, I'm hoping we can do that on Friday. And you know, and I do think, like, obviously, I was given it all fortunate Falkirk earlier on in the season. The last game at the Falkirk Stadium, you know, obviously, the goals that you got were fortunate. There were a slice of fortune in them. Let's be honest, John. You know, I'm not saying you didn't deserve to win or anything like that. But I don't think it wasn't as if, like, you were miles in front. So I think Friday,
unlike the league table.
Unlike the league table, of course, yeah. But a couple of my mates are quite worried about Friday and thinking it could be a bit of a battering. I don't think it will be. I still think Hughes go in it as obvious favourites, clearly. But I think it will probably be tighter than most people imagine, and I'm just hoping the players can get themselves up for it and at least, you know, not get pumped, basically. Don't get pumped on Friday night. Is the key, and if we can maybe take a point or something, I would absolutely snap your hand off for it now. But I think everyone, including James McPake, just wants to put out their misery a wee bit, because the takeover, you know, I think there's probably a wee bit of impatience with the takeover, and I don't think there's a realization how long sometimes these things take. Like, you know, these things do take months and months and months. You know, look at the Everton situation. That's been rumbling on for over a year. And, you know, obviously Everton are a far about, you know, apples and oranges a wee bit. But, you know, these things do take time. But, you know, what I'm hearing is it's pretty much done. And it's with the lawyers, and it should be done in the next few weeks. And hopefully that will give us time to get some players in January. I would imagine McPake and his coaching staff will be away.
Presumably that's why he's only been kept on, because, I mean,
yeah.
Dunfermline on 15 points, second bottom of the table, that's only 2 wins and 6 and 4 all season. That is, you know, that's not acceptable, surely.
Say that again, John.
Sorry, well, y'all say that again.
Ross, I don't want to see your erect penis, so please don't say it again. No, you're completely right. Of course it's unacceptable, but I think the situation is, you know, the current ownership are not going to be splashing out any cash to get rid of James McPake when they're halfway out the door. And they'll want to leave that to the new owners as they come in. So, yeah, I mean, completely. I mean, I think under normal circumstances, if there wasn't a takeover going on, James McPake would have been out the door certainly a few weeks ago. But, yeah, he's not going to get sacked until the takeover comes through. And I guess he'll be hoping that, you know, he'll somehow manage to turn that around and get a couple of wins and maybe try and get some players in January. But or get some players. I mean, that's the problem as well. It's not about just get players in, it's about getting players out. You know, like fucking, like, say, Michael O'Halloran is still sitting there stinking the place out and probably earning really good money as well. You know, there's other players who we've had since we won League One who are clearly not good enough. who are still probably on decent wages. And I think, you know, certainly next summer, I think most of the squad from that era is out of contract. So, I mean, that will be good for whoever comes in. But yeah, I was at the, obviously, as you know, my dad's on the board at Kelty Hearts. And I went and picked him up last night and he was absolutely flying. And he was just keen out, well, are we going to be swapping places next season? And I was like, well, I mean, it looks like it at this stage. I wouldn't fancy playing anyone in the playoffs if we managed to finish ninth. But yeah, I mean, the only positive I can take is, or positives that I can take is that Airdrie are done and I think are absolutely dead and buried. So we're not going to automatically go down. And I'm looking forward to the John McGlynn implosion in a couple of months' time.
So, Stephen, can I just, I'll chip in, so I've got 2 points, right? One is, I don't actually think you're the worst team in that bottom half. Like, I've been on record with John loads of times on this podcast. For me, Raith Rovers are the worst of the bottoms. Taking Airdrie out of the equation, I think Raith Rovers, for me, are the worst football team that we've played so far. They're so negative. They don't do anything positive with it at all. And they're going to lose a ton of games, right?
Their manager as well.
I personally don't, if we remain in the Championship, I'd rather play Dunfermline. You want the Derby games over the Raith games, right? So that's one thing. The second thing is, you made mention about John McGlynn's implosion. You seem to be pushing the date back. So at the start of the season, you said it would be Halloween when Falkirk's bubble and John McGlynn's bubble would burst. You then said it would be Christmas, which has not happened. Now it's February. Obviously, we may well win the league in April or May. When's this keep going? When do we implode?
Oh, I'll come. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Like, listen, mark my words. The implosion will come.
Said Falkirk would be relegated this season. And can we say right now that Falkirk can't really get relegated? Can you come back on that prediction? Because your prediction at the start of the season it was that Falkirk would get relegated. Would you like to withdraw that prediction now?
Well, two things. I think any sensible person looking at the table would say that Falkirk aren't going to get relegated now. And at the start of the season, I obviously just said that to annoy you. So I didn't actually believe that Falkirk were going to get relegated. I mean, at the same time, I didn't expect you to be sitting top of the league at Christmas either. So. I'm sure you guys didn't either. So, yeah. I mean, I know Ross, you already think the league's won, but I think there's still
open top buses, book t-shirts, jumpers are printed. It's all coming. It's all coming.
I think it's going to be an interesting few weeks because, you know, that's Ayr picking up again. Obviously, they scalped Hughes last week. They go to Livingston and win as well. I think are they 7 points behind you boys now, something like that. So they're obviously hitting a wee bit of form and, you know, they've got a wee bit of money to spend in January, I would imagine. And I would imagine Livingston have a bit of money to spend in January, which I would imagine you boys don't. So that's going to be interesting to see who is signed in January for, and, you know, and there's Partick Thistle winning again yesterday. I know they obviously lost to Livingston last Friday night, but I think Partick Thistle will probably be, you know, that's your top four.
I think that's your top four.
And I think, in saying that, I thought Queen's Park played really well against Raith Rovers on Friday night. How Raith Rovers won that game, I'm not entirely sure. So, you know, I think there's teams like Queen's Park, you know, if we manage to somehow get our shit together. I think we could probably take points off not just Hughes, but Livingston. I mean, we're apart from yesterday, we were the only team to have beaten Livingston this season, which is mental, considering where we are and how we've been performing. And, you know, I think we're capable of taking points off of Ayr and Partick Thistle and all these boys. So I just think it's going to be a really sort of interesting end to the season. And I think it's going to be a high-pressure situation. And I don't think John McGlynn deals well with high-pressure situations. That's my genuine opinion on it.
Well, high-pressure situation is the game against East End Park. I mean, your fans will be demanding a result after everything that he's been through. That's the worry for me as a Falkirk supporter, is that the Dunfermline supporters will demand it. But the thing is, what we talked about earlier on, is it got to the point of apathy where they're... But going into a derby, I guess there's no apathy going into a derby. You obviously want to win. You make Pickle use it. You know, obviously we've won two out of the two so far this season, You know, so I guess that's my worry, that it's ammunition. But I just think our quality at the moment, the way you're playing, we've got too much quality in the way we're playing at the moment. But we'll wait and see. What do you think, Stephen? What are you thinking for Friday? You're on the beers all day, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to need to be to sort of suffer through this. You know, I think anything, if yous don't win, it would be an embarrassment, obviously.
You said this the last twice, you know, right.
I'd love to see us just put in a really strong gutsy, you know, like we did against Raith Rovers earlier on this season when, we'd been pretty terrible, and then we ended up putting in a really good performance against Raith Rovers, lifted our game for that. The crowd was great that night. But as you say, it'll be a, you know, everyone will be on a sesh the entire day from both ends. So hopefully the atmosphere's decent. And I just want us to put in a decent performance. Like, you know, if we, as I say, I'd take a point just now, but I mean, I wouldn't imagine that many people would give us a chance. Falkirk are definite favourites to win. Absolutely.
I hate being favourites. Ross, what do you think the score's going to be?
Yeah, it's obviously a big week coming up with Christmas Day and stuff, and I think the scoreline is probably going to be so bad that Christmas Day is not just going to be the worst day in the Dunfermline households this week. The Friday night is going to be an absolute killer. So I'm going to say Falkirk 5, Dunfermline 0.
Interesting.
Fucking hell, Ross. Jesus Christ. Right, there we go. Clip that, everyone. I will go about. I think it'll be KG. I think the film will be up for it, but I think maybe a Falkirk 2-1. Would I take a draw? No,
John, shut the fuck up. Nah. We don't take a draw.
Nah, 2-1.
What are you talking about? This is you're pandering to your pal here. You know, fine well, it's not going to be tight.
Anything less than a convincing Falkirk victory is embarrassing.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
4-5-0 down at the road.
Well, fingers crossed. Looking forward to it. Stephen, thanks for coming on yet again to preview the match. We'll see what happens come Friday. By the way, I'm going full fucking Kevin Keegan on you if we win, because this last week of you nipping at me constantly about cheating Falkirk. Oh, the bubbles burst. McGlynnell, tinker, tinker, tinker. Honestly, I'm going full Kevin Keegan if we win on Friday.
Actually, John, I've just realised something as well.
What?
So Stephen has called me out. He's called Jamie Swinney out on the podcast, right? Real. I'm going to say something. Surely John's happy dance does more damage than what anything I've said or Jamie Swinney said about
this. Well, totally. Yeah, I mean, it's pathetic. But, you know, what's interesting, Ross, like, you know, it's obviously been a terrible, terrible season for Dunfermline. We were beat again yesterday. You guys have had a great season. You've only lost, two games, only two or three games, whatever it is. And then last week, you get absolutely battered by Ayr. Where was John on the podcast? Oh, my bairn's ill. Oh, she's no well. He shat himself because he knew he was going to get an absolute fucking roasting on the show.
He let Falkirk down, actually. He has let Falkirk
down. Are you agreeing on this? Jesus Christ! Hands across the divide.
And face the music every single week. Every single week. And have to put up with your fucking dance.
Every single week when you're not on holiday, try that.
I need a break for you. That's what it is. I need a break for you. So I need to get away. So actually, this is interesting because you're not doing the podcast a week on Monday. So if Dunfermline do manage to get results, you'll have shat yourself again. There you are. Perfect.
If we win, I actually might just come through to Glasgow just to record it just for the sheer hell.
I'm going to go on holiday, so, you know, there we are.
Brilliant. Stephen, thanks for coming on, mate. I'll see you tomorrow for a Falkirk Cappy dance.
Right, no worries. Right, catch you later, boys. Cheers.
Cheers, Stephen.
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much. I need to rush through this last bit because I've got to get to the rugby now. So get merch. You missed the Christmas deadline, but merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk or head to Pies and Prints. Get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the Falkirk Daft. Just type in Falkirk Daft. Check out Brisket Pie Review. Thank you very much to Stephen. Thank you very much to Paul for coming on. We've got to go though. I've got to say thanks to the few Paul Vaughan people who joined the Denzel Theobald Row of Honour: Charlie Scott, Baba K, Casky Boy, Kelly Morrison, Homer's Twin, Phil Linus, Ali, Del Bairn, Craig Young, Michael Janetta, and William Anderson, all on the Denzel Theobald Row of Honour. Ross, have we got a name for this week for the Row of Honour?
Yeah, in honour of our quiz internationalist, it's Diamantis Petrovicius.
Spell that! Give that a good spell, Petrovicius. Fantastic. Brilliant. Ross, onwards to East End now. Fingers crossed it's a Falkirk one. I don't know if it was going to be 5-0. I really hope it is. It would be
amazing. I'm just winding about, but yeah, I'm sure it will.
But no, it's looking forward. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. All our Falkirk Daft listeners. Hope you get what Santa. Lots of good Falkirk Daft merchandise. We'll have to do that in the next show, what Falkirk presents that you got. But honestly, from myself, from Ross, hope you have a great time with your loved ones over the Christmas period. And let's just hope Falkirk deliver the best Christmas present of all, pumping Dunfermline at East End Park and potentially going 8 points clear at the top of the league. Oh, chef's kiss that, fingers crossed. We'll see you at East End. You'll have a bevy and you will be in behind the wall before the match. Looking forward to a good Christmas bevy. And until next time on Falkirk Daft,
expect unexpected. Merry Christmas. Up the purse.
What folk are done? What folk are done? Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What folk are done? What folk are done? You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. What folk are done? What folk are done? For everyone who's kidding about being a folk are done. What folk are done? We are Falkirk Daft.